In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We are waiting for the Lord to return on the clouds of heaven. We are also waiting for Christmas to come. But even though Christmas will be a wonderful celebration, it will not satisfy us completely. We still are waiting, for we do not yet have everything that we hope for. Abraham waited 25 years for his son. He waited 25 years for God to keep his promise. Then God kept that promise and gave him a son. Through Isaac, Abraham's descendants would be as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. Through Isaac, he would become a great and mighty nation. Through Isaac, all nations of the world would be blessed. And through Isaac, the Savior himself would come. Heaven and salvation and life eternal were tied to Isaac. And so it seemed as if Abraham had everything he had hoped for. God had kept his word. Abraham had his son. Go sacrifice Isaac. Now Abraham has two conflicting words from God. The one, through Isaac the Savior will come. The other, sacrifice Isaac. If Isaac does not survive, then he cannot have children, and salvation cannot come, neither can the Savior. So instead of rationalizing and try to figure out these two conflicting words and somehow making them go together, Abraham just simply lets both of them stand. He believes both words of God. Out of love, God would not let Isaac become the focus of Abraham's hope. God was teaching Abraham that he was still waiting. He was waiting not for Isaac, not to become a great nation, but he was waiting for that Savior and for that heavenly city, the heavenly kingdom that Savior would bring. So Abraham believed both words of God, for God himself does not lie. So in Abraham's mind, Isaac must have a child, even though he was to be sacrificed. And in Abraham's mind, Isaac was already sacrificed and dead because God had spoken, as the writer to the Hebrews points out. We also wait in hope. Hope is always for something that is unseen. No one hopes for what they already have. But if we wait for what we do not have, we wait patiently for it. God taught Abraham to wait in hope in a very vivid way, and he also teaches us in very vivid ways through the trials and struggles that we go through. But we still have hope, for our hope in the Lord is never disappointed. God kept his promise to Abraham. And God has made a promise to us. It's the hope of the resurrection of the body. So we hope in the Lord that these weak, frail, feeble bodies will be raised. Our bodies, we hope for the resurrection. We hope for heaven. But we do not have the resurrection of the body yet, and we do not physically have heaven yet. To be more clear, we have them by faith, but not by sight. So we hope for the day that faith is turned into sight. We eagerly look forward to the day that we enter the pearly gates and walk on those streets paved with gold. And above all, we eagerly await to see our Lord and Savior with these own two eyes, with this body. And that makes our hearts yearn for heaven. Whether we are young or old, we hope for the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. So it's more than simply a hope for heaven. It's a hope to be in heaven as we now are, for God created us as body and soul, to be united together not only for a brief time, but for all eternity. So he will not abandon us to the grave, nor will he let his holy ones who have been bought by his own blood see decay. He must raise us. He must, even as he had to raise Isaac, for God cannot go back on his word. So like Abraham, we also have two conflicting words from God. The one, the soul that sins will die. The other, Jesus said, he who believes in me will never die. Unless our Lord returns first, physical death will come to us all because we all are sinners. We grow weak and frail because we are sinners. We get sick and broken and have hurt feelings and relationships because we are sinners. Yet we also believe that we will live forever. We must, for God has spoken and God does not lie. Therefore, we believe that God will raise our bodies, even as Abraham believed that he would raise Isaac from the dead. Abraham's hope was fulfilled in part by the birth of Isaac, and again by receiving Isaac back from that altar. Our hope is fulfilled in part at Christmas. For this one and only son of Abraham must give way to the one and only son of the Father. Yet as wonderful as Christmas is, it still must lead us to a cross. For if Christ has not died and been raised, then our hope is useless. We are still in our sins. But Christ has died, and Christ is raised from the dead as the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So our hope is certain and sure. It is built on a solid and firm foundation that cannot be moved. For our hope is in the Lord who poured out his blood onto Calvary. Our hope is in the Lord who paid for the sins of the whole world. Our hope is in the Lord who suffered and died in our place so that we might have life eternal. The world's hope is not like our hope. The world uses many catchphrases and words from Christianity, but they have no idea what they mean. For the world's hope at best is a pious wish. They hope that next year will be better than this year, yet they have no control over it. They hope the cancer doesn't come back. They hope that finances stabilize. They hope the country can be somehow united. They hope for peace, yet really all these things are beyond their control. But our hope is certain and sure and firm. Our hope may be beyond our control, but it is rooted firmly in the Lord and in his hands. Their hope is shaky and uncertain, but ours is tied completely to Christ and to what he has done for us. So our hope is built on the physical death and bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our hope is not found in a cross or in a grave, but in the one who adorned that cross and the one who lay in that grave but left it in 3 days' time. Our hope is not found in water, bread, or wine, but our hope is found in the Lord whose spirit moves those waters, and whose bread and whose body is that bread, and whose blood is that wine. Christ is our hope of the resurrection. Christ is our hope of life eternal. Our hope is tied explicitly, completely, and fully to Christ and only Christ. For his sake, God will not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. Faith is always filled with hope that God forgives me for the sake of Christ, and so faith is always filled with the hope of the resurrection of the body. For if God forgives, he must also raise and bring me to heaven. So faith and hope does not doubt, it does not waver, it is not uncertain. But we are sure and certain of the resurrection of the body. We are sure and certain that we will live with God forever. We are sure and certain that God has forgiven us all of our sins. We are sure and certain that he will come back on the clouds of heaven and will not leave us to linger and wait on this earth forever. For God must keep his promise. He must come down on the clouds to bring us into his heaven. He must. We are certain and sure that this weak, feeble, old body must be powerful, glorious, immortal, and spiritual. For God does not lie, and he never disappoints. So we are certain and sure that everything will work out for our good. We hope that it will, not a pious wish that is beyond our control, but a hope that is rooted firmly in the hands of our God that were pierced for our salvation. We may not be able to figure it out, but we hope in the Lord and put our trust in Him. And so we wait for the Lord to come. We wait in reverence, trusting that He is God and He knows what He is doing. We wait in prayer, repeating back to God the promises that He has made to us, and we wait in hope, certain and sure that if our bodies end up in the grave, they will be raised to a glorious and immortal life. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.